Hi, and welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. My name is Emily Thomas, and I am a mom on a mission to get a new perspective. Y'all, I am not proud of it, but I spent far too long waiting for my daily irritations to resolve before the good times can begin. And I'm thinking the struggles are just going to keep coming, so I might as well get a new plan. God promises if we persevere through our daily struggles, our character will be built, and we'll end up with a hope that doesn't disappoint. And I don't know about you, but my hardest days happen when I've lost sight of that hope. So if that's your story too, join me each week as I interview someone who has passed from just struggling to struggling well. Hi, friends. I'm so glad you're here. Today, I'm talking to my friend Becky Campbell of Beloved Clothing Company. I'm telling you about her company right now because I realized that when we got off the phone, we had not even mentioned her shop at all. Her t-shirts are adorable. And if you go to momstrugglingwell.com, you can find links to all the places you can find her. So Becky describes herself as a grace-guzzling, God-seeking artist. She struggles with people-pleasing, perfectionism, and comparison. But once she started digging into her Bible, she rediscovered how God saw her, and that changed everything. Becky's really big on grace, and I personally need to hear more from people like her. What originally drew me to her is when she wrote, I think on Instagram, that the carpet at the foot of her bed was worn out from her and her husband praying for their kids. I would consider that struggling well myself. We talk about a little of everything, and I can't wait for you to hear, so let's go ahead and get started. Hi, Becky. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good. So what was the best thing that happened in your day today?
Oh, my goodness. Our whole family was kind of in a post-sugar coma, so we have had to hide all the candy in a locked room because we kept finding the kids sneaking up and trying to consume more candy today. So it was a little battle, but we're doing good. We just kind of took it easy. We went to church last night, so it was just a sleep-in day, getting used to the time change. So
now, where do you live?
We live in Oregon, Salem, Oregon.
Okay. So I grew up in Arizona, and then we lived in China.
Oh, wow.
And neither one of those places changes time. So when, I'm in Texas, and we change time, and I think maybe everybody did. I don't even know. The whole thing is so weird to me, and I lived my whole life without it just fine. So.
I know. Let's change that because my kids were up at 5 and it takes us about a month to finally get into the swing of things. And then we're already ready to change time again.
Yeah. Okay. So you have 4 kids.
I do. Yes.
Tell us about them.
Oh my goodness. We have our 15-year-old son. His name's Noah. We have Lauren, who is right on his trail. She is 13 going on 18. And, we have Jameson, who is in 5th grade, and he is 11. And we have our grand finale. Her name's Jana, and she is 5 years old. So there is a little gap.
Yeah. Did you know she was coming?
She was prayed for, but we didn't anticipate her arriving, but we are so thankful. And in fact, her name in Italian means God is gracious because we were praying for a 4th and it happened on God's timing and not ours. So we are thankful and he's gracious, but she is our own little bundle of energy. And we are daily excited to have her around the house. So
tell me about, you're married?
Yes.
I'm assuming. Okay. How long have you been married?
17 years in January. So yeah, we've got the whole thing kind of covered. I think we're just now getting used to the fact that we like to handle the weekends differently. So I think that's a big milestone in our marriage where we realize, okay, I do not have to do the same things you do.
Okay.
I can do the things I want to. So
what does he like to do?
Oh, he wakes up first thing with a list. We have a little chalkboard in our kitchen and that thing is filled. He's excited, raring to go. And I try to stay in my pajamas as long as I possibly can and sit on the couch and read or just, I like to hustle during the week. So the weekend comes and I can just sit and relax and enjoy.
Okay.
And so for a while we were chasing each other around, going, okay, I'll help you with your list and then you need to sit and relax. And now we've just realized, okay, you go do your thing. If you need me, I'll be here.
How long did that take?
17 years. Oh, 16 and 3/4.
Oh, because this is years. New yes. and exciting.
This is new. Oh, it's wonderful. It's like, oh, we're finally feeling like we're getting into that good groove of, no.
That's so funny.
There are other things. Yes, it's just a little milestone we've been celebrating right now.
I have to say, I am so with him on that. Like, I like doing things.
Do you like going out and being active, or is it just getting your chores done? Or,
well, my husband says I like to look like I'm like an outdoors person, but that I don't actually like to be an outdoors person. I kind of agree with him, but I would never tell him that. But no, I think I just like to, go to festivals in the city. Yes. And, you know, see what's happening, go on walks, those types of things.
We enjoy doing that as well. But I'm a homebody, I guess. Okay. Well, in Oregon, you get to October and you have to start hibernating anyways. I mean, we do go out, but it gets really dark and it just rains. And it's almost easier just to keep the troops at home than to pile on the boots and the hats and the gloves. And
so many layers. Yeah.
Yes. So
do you have one of those lamps you sit under? I'm from Arizona. We don't have the problem.
You know what? It's funny because you start getting invited to people's homes because you just feel like you just need people time, and we'll laugh because you'll have these lamps from Costco. We all have the same kind and they're kind of all positioned around each other's homes, and really? Mine kind of follows me when I get ready in the morning. And
so you really do have a lamp?
I do. Well, I'm originally from Southern California, so I'm used to tons of sun.
Yeah.
We've been in Oregon for 9 years, and I think I'm finally getting the hang of it, but I do have my own little personal buddy. He lights me up in the morning and keeps me happy, feeling like I'm in Southern California, and it's a strange adjustment, but you know, it works.
We've had several days of snow. That's wishful thinking. We've had several days of rain here, and me and my husband were like, we just feel sad. What's happening? We're like wilting in our house.
It's true. After a while, and it'll be probably until March or April when we start seeing the sun come out. It's beautiful here. It's always green, and going hiking in the rain. You just learn to adapt. But after a while, I start going, okay, it's time to go visit the family in California to get some sunshine. Yeah. So,
oh my goodness. Now, you told me that you had a bad haircut recently and all your hair got chopped off.
Well, I was going to the She Speaks Writers Conference this summer, and my first big, hey, let's get out there and mingle with other writers, and I had the unfortunate experience of getting my hair trimmed.
Okay. How long was it?
It was down to my shoulders. Okay. And I'm a little crazy, a little ADD about my hair. I'll kind of change it up. Oh, I'm getting bored. I'll cut it. But this time I had committed. I signed a little contract with my husband. I'm going to grow my hair out. Don't let me cut it. Well, no, a little verbal.
A verbal agreement. Just because you wanted it longer or he did or what?
I wanted it longer. I'm like, please just don't let me fall into the whim. I told my hairdresser, please don't
put up some boundaries.
Let me bring pictures.
Yes.
Yes. So my sweet hairdresser, which I love, she's so cute. She's getting married and she was trimming my hair up about a week before the conference, and she was just chatting and talking, and I don't think she realized it. I wasn't paying attention, and she cut about a 4-inch by 4-inch chunk from the side of my hair.
What? By her wedding?
I think she's so cute. Oh, yeah,
you're so nice for calling that cute.
She just was so happy. And really, in retrospect, it was like, okay, I knew God's hand was in it. But she had curled my hair all cute. And I went home and my husband, I walk in. He's like, oh, it looks nice. And then it was the next morning when I actually tried to do it myself. I'm like, something's not working on this side. I feel like I'm missing something. Okay. And took some pictures, sent it to my friend. She's like, what happened? What did you do? And then I realized, oh, this is not right. So
did she notice she did it? Or did you both maybe just not notice?
I really would love to. I'd love to give her the benefit of the doubt. She never curled my hair before. So it looked beautiful. I'm not a, beachy wave kind of gal. So I love the new change, but
you're very diplomatic.
I'm hoping I still go to her.
You can do politics. Okay.
I was like, what should I do? My friend and I she was giving me the pep talk. Becky, you got to be honest. You've got to let her know. You can't go to the conference looking like that. As nice as she could say it, as honestly she could. So I called my hairdresser and I sent her pictures. And I said, I just don't know if this looks right. Can you fix it? Mm-hmm. And she's like, sure, come on in. And she's like, I don't know how I'm going to fix this. I don't know how to make it blend. Okay. Let's think of some options. So we sat there in the chair, and Pinterest is wonderful for new, fresh ideas.
Yes.
So she said, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to cut it off. Okay. And
what do you think?
I have a pixie. I have a really short pixie. I love it, but it was a huge shock. And in fact, it was almost like I had lost a limb when I went home.
Did you cry?
I did. My husband was so great. He's like, oh, it looks so wow. But then all the kids were standing in a line. Like, my husband must have coached them and said, Mom, your hair looks so good. Oh, we love it. And then my youngest, Jonna, she's just like, oh, Mom, can you get your hair back? Because you don't look like Mom. So needless to say, I had to quickly embrace it because I had to go to this conference. Mm-hmm. And we're all on this Facebook page because we're all helping each other with book proposals and writing stuff. And this one gal had a bad hair experience as well. Right. And she posted pictures. So I posted pictures of myself. We've got this girl.
Yeah.
I will say that God totally intervened because the moment I walked into that conference, I'm an introvert. Mm. I went into the conference thinking that I would just be alone or I'd hide in my room, and I hate sitting by myself. So I was just nervous. And the moment I walked into the conference, people were like, Becky Campbell, I love your hair. Oh my God.
That's so good.
So it
really is cute. It's super cute.
So God used a crazy hair experience to kind of push me out of my comfort zone. And
I love that.
I met some neat women, and it was probably the best thing that happened. So I'm thankful that God used something that was a little crazy and out of my control and allowed me to meet some great ladies that I probably wouldn't have met because I'd be up in my room with my coffee or something.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
I have curly hair, and I was just used to getting bad haircuts. I just thought it was part of life. Because I would go in with, like, this would be a cute haircut, and I give a picture, and it's of someone with straight hair. I don't know. Like, nobody, like, sat me down and said, sweet girl, you have curly hair. Like, it's not going to look like. I remember wanting to look like Monica from Friends, because I already am really uptight like hair. Her anyway. And so I thought I might as well have her hair, but she has straight hair. And so anyway, I just remember it being just always bad haircut. Well, then I got really smart last year, and I thought, let me Google, is there such a person who's good with curly hair? I don't know. Like, I thought I invented that concept. And so I did. And there was, and they were right by me. And I went, and it's so, like, I found my people. Everyone
has it
in
changed
there,
your life?
Yes, everyone in there has curly hair. The hair cutters, the hair cutties, the receptionists, they have curly hair parties where you can only go if you have curly hair. Like, it's,
do you have, like, a little secret handshake to enter in or something, like the secret
not
club?
That I know of. Maybe I haven't gone enough, but I just felt so happy. And then they just do such a good job, and I love my hair now. So good haircuts are.
You found your tribe, huh?
I did. I didn't even know they were out there. So, good times. Okay, so I have to ask you a question. It's very important.
Okay.
If you could take a road trip with someone famous, who would you cram in your car of famous people?
Oh, well, it was a toss-up between the gals from Friends, because I am a Friends gal, and the gals from Gilmore Girls. But if I could have Lorelai and Rory in my car, that would be the best. It would be a dream come true. And I know they're not real, but I mean, come on.
So what do you love about them?
I just love, you know, I'm old. I just turned 40 in October, so I'm an 80s gal. So I love all the 80s references and the bands and just the banter. I feel smart when I watch them. So.
Oh, that's so good.
They're so witty, and you know, in my perfect world and in my brain, I feel like I'm that witty, but at least when I listen to them, I feel like I'm soaking it in. So I just love that witty banter. So
I was thinking about it, and I would pile in Kristen Wiig, because, oh my goodness.
Yes.
And Amy Poehler.
Yes.
And Tina Fey. And I would take my sister, because if I didn't take my sister, she would kill me. And we would just have them say funny things to us the whole time.
You'd need like a party bus, though, because they're big personalities. So you'd need a lot of room for them to just be themselves.
You would like have a talking stick, and you could only like say something funny when you were holding the talking stick.
Oh,
I don't know.
I have
a system.
I would be mute. I would just be so overwhelmed by their craziness. It would be hilarious.
Well, I also want to know, like, what would happen if you get that many funny people together? Would it like implode, or would they like?
I don't know. There's just too much to handle that they'd all be silent because they'd all be waiting for someone else to say something funny.
No, yeah, I think it'd be a good time.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, that's my hope.
Okay, I'll hope for that too.
Thank you. I think it could happen. Just it's around the corner. So Tell me, you said that you're passionate, I saw on your blog, that, about letting women know that they don't have to be perfect, that life is messy, and they can be authentic.
Yes.
You also talk about having some anxiety and some insecurity.
Yeah.
How are those connected? Talk to me about that journey for you.
Well, I think I grew up always feeling like I had to project as a, whether it was as a Christian or just as a woman, that I have it all together. The anxiety and the nervousness and the insecurity that I was feeling, I just wanted to hide that, because if you're a Christian and you say that you are new believer, or you're new in Christ and you're a new creation, that you shouldn't have any problems. You shouldn't still struggle, because God should just magically take all of that away.
Mm-hmm. And when did you become a Christian?
When I was younger, but it wasn't until I was in high school and in college where I really felt like I just wasn't getting it. I grew up in a very strong, almost borderline legalistic Christian homes, to where it was more of, let's follow the rules, let's follow a standard of what my parents wanted for me. Okay. So I think that carried on well into high school and college, where I'm like, you know what, Lord, there has to be more of who you are. There has to be more about that grace that I keep hearing about. And I want to experience that side of Christianity more than having to follow rules and standards. So I think that's where my faith really took a big shift. And I was able to start just walking more closely with the Lord, and what I was reading the scriptures about, how he takes our messiness and he takes the brokenness in our lives and he does the work. We don't have to project an image. We don't have to show the world that we have it all together. Mm-hmm. And it's just been an amazing journey. And I think now, especially, you know, I'm in my 40s and I have kids, that I just want my kids to know that God doesn't put those rules and standards on us. He loves us. So it's in that journey of being anxious and the fear and the worry, just in that process of being authentic and going, okay, we're not going to have our act together and we need to stop trying to act like we do.
Mm-hmm. How do you communicate that to your kids? Like, how do you help them not live under a sense of rules and pressure?
There's a lot of just talking, sharing. It's been great now that my kids are, you know, entering the teen years, so we can have more dialogue and discussion. Mm-hmm. With my younger kids, a lot of it is just, you know, hey, mommy's struggling, I'm nervous about something, can we pray? And or if there's been opportunities where they're doing something at school and, oh, are you scared about this? Is there something that you're worried about? Or when they've done something wrong, just infusing that moment with grace and just saying, you know what, who you are and what you've done, that's not who you are. This is how God sees you. He's forgiven you. He's loved you. And it's been a process of learning how to dialogue openly, but especially now with my teenagers, of just being authentic. Okay, this is where I've struggled. This is who I was. And this is what I've learned in that process with the Lord and what scripture has taught me. So it's allowed us to use their moments of learning and their process of struggling, that my husband and I have come alongside and said, hey, we totally know what you've gone through. We've gone through it as well. And just kind of walking alongside of them and sharing our hearts with them in that process.
Now, I do not err on the side of grace. I just tend to be pretty, like, kind of like I was from the military, but I'm not. Like, I don't have a military background, but I don't even know what to say about it. But I, just being honest, I have this fear that if I show too much grace, and I do extend grace, I mean, it's not, they aren't just doing push-ups all day long. Like,
I sometimes
am afraid that it'll somehow be cheapened and they'll just run with it. How do you balance that? Or do you even find that it's something you need to balance? Like, I have to try really hard to be gracious.
I think I struggle because since I did grow up in that type of home, it's easy to default to that. And I'm thankful that my husband balances me out to where we have a little, like, unspoken little I can't describe it, but if there's a moment where he feels that maybe I am being too rigid or coming down too hard on my kids, he'll look at me he'll give me a little squeeze. And I mean, that's taken a process of us figuring it out together. And for a while I'd kind of go, what? I'm not doing anything. And he'll kind of go, okay, hey, you know what? Let me take over from here. And it's so easy to kind of default to how we were parented. Mm-hmm. So it's been helpful. Then he'll step in and then I'll take a step back and realize, oh, wow, maybe I need to extend a little more grace in the situation instead of wanting to make them change their behavior or follow the rules. And but my husband has been such a great balancing for me to help me know, okay, is this a moment of grace or is this a moment where, hey, we really need to stick to the expectations we've had? And I'm thankful for that.
You find that you guys parent pretty differently then?
I think I'm more of the, you know, you take all those parenting classes where there's the authoritative and then there's the permissive parent. I'm more of the authoritative, hey, let's make sure we keep things flowing and these are the expectations. And my husband is more the permissive where he would let them share and talk. So we tag team a lot better that way, because if he had it his way, he would say, oh, let's go out for ice cream. And I'd be, oh, we're all going to bed, no dinner. And it, we probably represent two extremes, and God knew that we needed each other. So we realize, okay, we're in this together. Yes. So it's been an interesting journey being parents. Yes.
For me, I come down harder on the issues that I project my kids in 16 years. And it's really gone bad because this little, you know, one time infraction has turned into like large problems. And so out of fear, I come down too hard. Is that kind of...
Well, I think for me, I may have too high of expectations on my kids. So where I struggle is I feel like, oh, they should be at a different place. Maybe I have expectations of, oh, they should know this by now. They're, you know, they're 15. Why are they still struggling with this? It takes me several times to learn something, and sometimes it repeatedly banging my head on something. Why should I expect my kids to get it the first go? I've learned that I can't expect my kids to just get it automatically, that it's going to take some time and, you know, reminding them, okay, hey, let's just do it this way. And let's remember what we've, you know, talked to you about. So I don't know. Yes.
It definitely took me years to realize I was going to have to say things more than once. I don't know why I thought they were like a machine I was programming or something.
It's almost like I need a t-shirt of, hey, these are the standards. So they can just always see it. And that way I wouldn't have to keep repeating it. But, you know, we'd be creative.
Yes. My big thing is trying to say it kindly, because I am going to say it 7 million times. Like, we were just, because Halloween was yesterday. Yes. We were about to go to a Halloween party. We were about to put on our outfits. I had things going on in the kitchen. I had lots going on. And they snuck outside to play in the mud. I'm like, what? Like, their so is not, you know. And then I realized, like you were saying, you need to know where they're at. Then my son, who's 3, is like, is it the real Halloween today? Like, he doesn't even know what's going on.
He's just
so
there for
him
the
to
ride.
Go out in the mud. Yeah. He wasn't like, ooh, this is really going to be something that makes mom mad. Let's do it.
Oh my God. How old are your kids? I didn't ask you that.
A 3-year-old boy and a 7-year-old girl.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. Do you find that you are harder on some kids than other kids, since you have 4?
Oh, my oldest.
Or is it kind of same?
No, my oldest. And we always tell him, you know, we hate that you're our guinea pig, but we're just learning. Just as you're learning to be a teenager, we're learning to be parents, and we're new to this. And he often jokes with us, okay, I feel like I'm broken in now, mom, let's move to the next one.
That's so funny.
And we're definitely a lot lenient on our youngest, because, you know, she's the baby. But, you know, of course, then our oldest kids always call us on that. Hey, you didn't do that to us. Why is she not in trouble? So it's...
Yes, I was the oldest. I so remember that. My sister could, like, I don't even know, do anything.
Yes.
Do anything. I remember we always had to do music, which is fine. I loved music. Yeah. And my mom didn't care what we did. We just had to do something that was musical.
Yes.
So, like, every year I remember... trombones and upright basses and flutes and clarinets and saxophones. It did not matter. And we rented every one of them.
Oh,
I think
great.
The music store loved seeing us coming, because we can all play tons of instruments. But my sister, oh, you want to do volleyball? Sure. I'm like, what? So, like, I never learned how to throw a ball because I was too busy doing music, but she felt like volleyball.
And that
so
was
that's
okay.
Fine. No music for her. Like, anyway, I may be a little bitter. I probably should let that go. Yeah, it's so silly. So you mentioned that you recently went back to work.
I did, yes.
How has that been?
Well, I used to be a language arts teacher before I had kids. And just started feeling a little restless. All of my kids are now in school. So I was feeling like, okay, this home thing, being home by myself, I miss people. So... just prayed about how to do that. My husband was all on board, and a job opening opened up at our kids' school for their drama teacher for junior high and high school. So I applied and they said, yes, we'd love for you to teach drama. So I'm part-time. So it's you know, 17 years that I've been a teacher, and it was the perfect opportunity to kind of ease back into it. It's been a little crazy, but I'm so thankful. It's been crazy, but fun. And it's just nice to be back in the classroom. I love it.
So, so you told me that your kids are your students. What's that like?
Yes, my two oldest. So my oldest son, Noah, is in high school, and my second oldest, Lauren, is in eighth grade. And I teach four intro to theater classes and one improvisation class. For some reason, they didn't want to do PE or some other elective, and they signed up for my class. And I said, okay, let's talk about this.
Yes.
How do you feel about this? You know, I'm kind of a dork and I say things that maybe I shouldn't.
Okay.
So what are the rules? Can you give me like a little note card to have? And my son, Noah, he's a lot like me. So he and I, you know, we have the same humor. So he's like, oh, mom, I'm gonna be fine. I can handle myself in your class. But my daughter, Lauren, she's a little more reserved and a little more shy. She's like, please don't tell stories. Please don't talk about me. Okay. Please don't even treat me like your daughter.
Please just don't look at me.
Just let me blend in. And there was one time where I said something and I can't even remember what it was. And she turned beet red.
Oh.
And I thought, oh no, I said something on the list. What did I say? So we're driving home and she is just silent. Just that teenager silent treatment. And I thought, oh, Lauren, what did I say to you? And so I finally, I'm like, okay, Lauren, just tell me, what did I say? I'm so sorry. I just couldn't remember. And she's like, mom, you told the most embarrassing story about me. And I said, I did. And I said, I'm so sorry. I was using it as an example. She's like, it's okay, mom. I forgive you, but please promise me. So now I've taught her the look that my husband and I have. So I said, okay, Lauren, this is the look. And if I'm starting to, you know, make sure you're right in front of me. And there'll be times where she'll kind of give me that look like, okay, back off. You're getting a little too close with about our family. So it's been good though. They've loved being in my class. I love having them in my class, but I've had to make sure that I don't embarrass my daughter.
So do they call you mom?
No, principal, his kids go to the school as well. And he told all of us parents who are also teachers, you know, make sure your kids call you Mrs. Campbell, just so there is this delineation of roles and there's respect. And so my son thinks it's hilarious. Mrs. Campbell?
Oh, yeah.
He'll try to say, and since it's a theater class, he'll try to say it in different accents. And, you know, so if the principal were to walk in and hear that, he probably would not see the delineation of roles, but
a little less humorous.
We're really trying there, but it's
been
fun.
Funny. So you have two teenagers.
Yes.
You can see the finish line, like they're on their way out, kind of. And you mentioned that you wonder if you did enough.
Yes.
I love that you wrote that you wore out the carpet at the foot of your bed praying for them.
Yes.
That is such a sweet image. So tell me, how do you... I mean, my kids are 3 and 7, and when I think about it, it makes me want to burst into tears. So how do you handle it?
Well, my son, Noah, he's about to turn 16, and you know, he's looking at colleges, and he's a freshman in high school, and we keep telling him, Noah, you have 3 more years under our roof. I said, you're allowed to come home and visit, but really, when you go to college, that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, we are handing you off to the Lord, and knowing that all that stuff we kept cramming into your brain, and you know, that it just sticks, and he laughs and thinks that's hilarious. But I think we've always walked into parenting is just with our hands wide open. My husband's a lot better at it than I am because I just want to hold them and I don't want to let them out of my sight. But it's been a whole process of just going, okay, they're not ours. And we're going to love on them. We're going to give them the tools and the strategy and, you know, the wisdom we've learned along the way and the dumb things we've done along the way and telling them, don't do this. We've learned the hard way. And just in that process of just praying over them, praying with them, and just, you know, knowing that even in our shortcomings as parents, because we aren't perfect at all, that God's going to fill in those gaps. And I think I constantly wrestle with, oh, Noah, did I ever teach you how to make scrambled eggs? Okay, Noah, did I teach you how to fold your sock? Mm-hmm. And those little moments where I just have a little panic, like, oh God, is he going to be ready? Is he going to be able to handle it? Mm-hmm. He's just going to be on his own. And the Lord keeps reminding me, okay, I'm enough. I'm going to be enough for him. And he's going to learn to rely on me. And it's going to be okay. So in those moments where I start tearing up, I go, okay, it's going to be okay. Take a deep breath. And my husband's like, okay, he's got it. We're ready. Let's move on to the next kid. Mm. He's so great because he helps me realize, okay, you know, I have to let Noah have more responsibility. We need to slowly start handing the reins off to him. And I can't mother him as much as I'd like to. So it's so hard. But it's like I said, we're on our knees and our hands are wide open and that they're just out there and God has them. So
how do you kind of know what to give him and what to not? Is there like a time where you see him handle something well and then you give him more, or what do you do? How do you navigate that?
Well, it's like, we call it like the little cha-cha, the parent teenager cha-cha. I mean, we feel like, well, give him a little bit more responsibility and then he'll make an unwise choice. I'm like, okay, let's take a few steps back. And you know, you need to regain our trust. There's been some issues of not telling the truth about where he'll be with his friends. And, you know, okay, you know, listen, buddy, we trust you and we're wanting to give you more freedom. Pretty soon you're going to have a car and you're going to drive and we're not going to be in the back seat telling you where to go.
Unless I can, and then I will be.
But I will tell you, I am thankful for phones because I will know where he's at. But it's telling him, hey, you know, responsibility is something they have to earn. Just like anything else in life, you've got to work at it. And while we still have those 3 years with you, we're gonna give you more. But then if you make some unwise choices, or you're not showing responsibility, or you haven't shown godly character in that, we're going to have to kind of pull it back a little bit so we can start seeing that rebuilt. And
do you find that he gets really angry, or does he, like, in my mind, every teenager just walking around stomping and like steam coming out of their head?
Oh, you know, it's not always like that. And I'm thankful. And maybe my kids are a little weird, but they seem to like us.
Okay, that's so good. You're doing something right.
I don't know what it is. Believe me, it's totally the Lord, because boy, there's sometimes where I go, why do you like me? I'm not good at this sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think more than anything, it's, yeah, there is that pulling and there's that, hey, I want more freedom. I want more responsibility. And he'll kind of get all stompy. And my daughter is actually better at the stompy, eye rolling, door slamming thing. But
so nice. I'm looking forward to that.
We're trying. Oh, no. But really, in that process, we'll sit with them and go, hey, listen, you know what? Even in that moment where you're, you know, pushing back at us and you're kind of eye rolling, this is not how you're supposed to act. Mm-hmm. You know, life isn't fair. There's going to be times where you're going to be in trouble, or you're going to, you know, have an issue at work. And this type of behavior, you'll get fired. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's really good.
I know that you really want to be emotional and kind of show us, but let's talk maturely here. Let's talk about it, and we're willing to negotiate and compromise if you feel like we've been too overbearing. But you have to know we're your parents first, and we take our job so seriously. Mm-hmm. God gave us this job, and we're going to be held accountable for this. Absolutely. And we're going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say, hey, how'd you do raising those kids? And we're going to say, we did the best we could because we prayed a lot. We keep telling our kids that, you know, we're your parents first, and we want to be close with you, and we want to be you to be open with us, but we're your parents first and your friends second. Mm-hmm. We take this seriously. So please work with us. Know that we only have a short time with you, and we're doing this out of love. And we love you. And we love you. And we love you. And we love you. And we want you to succeed. Mm-hmm. And I think they know that by heart.
Yeah, we're on your side.
We're not making these rules because we enjoy making your life miserable. In fact, it would be so much easier for us just to give in to you, because we wouldn't get all that eye rolling, door slamming stuff. Yes. But we love you, and we're willing to take that in order to help you see what the right choices are. So like I said, it's that two steps forward, you know, one step back. You know, we're just doing this little cha-cha until the Lord says, okay, say goodbye. It's time for them to go to school, and we'll drop them off at college, wherever they decide to go, and just pray the whole way home that they, yes, that the Lord has them. You know, it, interesting. Parenting is not for cowards. That is the truth.
Heavens, no.
Yeah, but we've enjoyed it. It hasn't been horrible. It's been exciting and crazy and scary all at the same time. So yes, it's not too bad. You'll survive, I promise.
Thank you. Okay, well, good.
I'm just starting though, so I don't know.
Yeah, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Interview me in about 3 more years and I may have a different story, but you know.
Funny. So what do you hope they most learn from you? You've dropped them off in their dorm room, it's decorated all cute, and then you drive home in an empty car. What do they need to have learned?
I guess I just want them to always know that they're not alone, that the struggles they're facing, that the Lord is there first, and mm-hmm, he'll always be there for them, but to never feel like they can't ask for help or to ask for prayer. I mean, I remember college feeling like it was just so overwhelming at times and all that pressure to do mm-hmm well. And but it's fun and it's crazy. But at the same time, knowing, oh gosh, I'm still struggling. And mm-hmm, I want them to have that sense of that the Lord's always with them and that he's on their side and he is going to be their strength and their source of help. And mm-hmm, but then also just that whole grace process, that in the process of making choices, there are going to be wrong choices and they're going to be great victories, but that there's so much grace and there's so much redemption in the fact that he wants us to learn how to rely on him. And he's going to use those bad times and those hard times and those wrong choices to teach us to rely on him. And
yeah, he's not sitting back with his arms crossed, just no, incredibly disappointed.
Yeah, he uses every situation, every moment to bring us closer to him. So yeah, I feel like that's what we've been instilling in our kids this whole time, that there's nothing you can do that can separate you from his love. And as you go each day with your studies or with your friendships, that he's there and he wants to help you and you're not alone in that. And I think that's what I would hope that they would have, but and that they would wash their clothes.
Yeah. For the love, please.
Please don't bring your laundry home.
That's funny. Oh my goodness. What would you say to a mom who's struggling with her teens and there is eye rolling and there's door slamming and there's lying, and how would you encourage her today to keep going?
First of all, I just would encourage just to remember that this is a process for their kids as well. And they're learning, they're figuring things out as well. Mm. They're new to being a teenager just as much as we're new to being parents. Yeah. So they're figuring out all the craziness of their bodies and their hormones. And but also just being real. I think the biggest breakthrough we had with our son when we were struggling back and forth with the whole power control, that he wanted to be right and we wanted to be right, that you just said, you know, Noah, we're struggling with this. We are learning how to be your parent. We're learning how to love you in this new phase. And could you just pray for us when you have a chance? Because we would love to be a better parent for you. And we would love your prayer in that and your encouragement, because we want to do the very best we can. And I think that was a huge breakthrough for him because he realized we weren't just trying to be this parent with these rules and standards, but that we were struggling as well. And it wasn't just him having issues with us. And so it was being real in that process of, hey, you know, this sucks for us too. Yeah. You know, you must feel horrible. We feel horrible too. So just being real with our teen, but not, you know, still letting them know, hey, these are expectations. But also I think where my husband and I really felt like the most encouragement and the most strength that we gained was just being a team and really working together and sitting down with each other and going, okay, what should we do? What do you think? What are you seeing in this? And we also have learned that we kind of have a more connection with one of our teens more than the other. So like my husband calls me the Noah whisperer and he's the Lauren whisperer. And there's a connection that we both have. And instead of trying to force ourselves onto our kids, you know, sometimes Jay will go, okay, Becky, can I really go and talk with Lauren? I think I can really, you know, work with her more and maybe she'll hear me better in this situation.
That's
wise. And then with Noah, I know I can go in because, you know, guys and gals, you know, moms with their daughters and sons with their fathers, there's a little more tension. And we've just learned as a team, okay, you know, this is my strength and this is your strength. Let's really play on those. But
that's so good.
Yeah.
That's really, really good.
And like I said, just prayer. I think the most encouragement I get is when I just lay on my face and go, Lord, this is so hard. Can you just help me with this? Because in my own strength, I would yell at him and I would scream at him and I'd want to slam the doors and I want to roll my eyes, but can you help me right now? And just taking those timeouts and those high impact moments with the teens, you know, just to go, okay, hey, time out. We need to take a breather and then just go retreat to our corners. And then I just fall on my knees and just go, okay, God, in my own strength, I wanted to lash out and I really want to handle this with wisdom. And I'm weak in this area. And then God always steps in and says, hey, I'll be your strength and I'll show you what to do. And that's been how I've been able to survive, just knowing, okay, I'm not doing this on my own strength.
That's so good. I love that you're not expecting yourself to be good at it, you know, by just like putting your hand up and saying, I'm new here. I'm new to this whole situation, just like you are. It really levels the playing field, you know? And I think that's really good.
Well, and my husband and I joke, okay, we're either saving up for college or saving up for therapy for kids because, you know,
either way,
they're going to be good because we're not given the moment our kids are born and handed to our, you know, to us, we're holding them. It's not like we were magically given the wisdom right then. Right. And just like we're in process in life, parenting's the same way. We have to give ourselves grace in that process. And I know I'm going to make mistakes. My kids know I'm going to make mistakes. And as long as I constantly go before them and say, hey, you know, I really messed up there. I yelled a little bit too much. Will you forgive me? That goes a long way. Yeah. So just being real. Yeah.
I love it. So I have one more question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
What is something that you just cannot even stop talking about right now? You're telling everybody about this thing you love or this song or movie or what?
Oh my goodness. I'm so knee deep in like life that I haven't really had the whole going back to work thing. I'm still feeling like my head is barely above water right now.
I'm trying to think of what I like right now. I can't think of anything either. We need to get out more.
I was just thinking like, gosh, I feel like I live under a rock. I know what I'm obsessed about.
What?
Oh, have you tried the
No, but I want
white.
To. The what?
Are they called like the flat whites at Starbucks with the cute little dot in the middle? I'm obsessed with those. I think those are pretty cool. And I feel very trendy when I drink one. Like, hey, I'm a hipster in Oregon and I carry this really cool cup and I had a flat white.
There you go. It's basically like a latte, right?
Yes.
What's different about it?
I think it has more milk, but I mean, I don't know the whole consistency or the science behind how the drink is made, but it just tastes really good. And I'm more of a milk over coffee. So I like to taste more milk than the coffee, I should say. And there's definitely more milk in it. And I love it. And I just love that cute little dot. I want to know how they do that. I try to replicate it at home. It doesn't really quite work out. But
is the dot white or is the dot brown?
Oh, is it white? I thought it was white. Well, is it brown?
Oh, I don't know. I'm asking because if the dot's white, then they put that's foam. And if the dot's brown, then they pour the espresso through the foam.
It's brown because they put it. Oh, now I don't know. Oh, my brain.
Oh, my God. You just need to go get one tomorrow. You've got to get to the bottom of this.
Well, it just shows that I need more sleep and I need to stop eating candy corn. I think maybe that's dulled my brain.
Your senses.
It's a white dot. I'm Googling it right now. Dot. Yeah.
Google it. Okay.
Yeah, it's a white dot. Yeah. I knew it was one of those.
I liked it when I had it. I liked the flat white. I am a black coffee with like shots of espresso in it. Kind of hardcore.
You are
like
hardcore.
My taste buds are no longer with us. They're just been seared right
but
off.
You're doing it more for the impact of the drink rather than the warm fuzzy, oh, I have a coffee in my hand. It's like you need it.
But it also is the feeling of something warm. Like if I can't have coffee, I'll just have hot water in a mug. I got that from China because in China, everything has to be hot water. If you have cold water, it means you must hate yourself. Like you have a death wish. Why would you drink cold water? It's so opposite of Chinese medicine. Everything like warm is
interesting.
Good. Right? And
okay.
So no, I just need anything warm. But I don't know. When I worked at Starbucks, they made me do like coffee tastings. Like you would do a wine pairing.
Ooh.
We would do like coffee pairing.
So do you like spit into like a little cup or something?
Yeah, there's mouthfeel and there's lots of fancy words. I never knew what the words said, but I just would like, because you had to stand in front of, you know, your manager and everybody and just do like a French press and this fancy way of doing it. Anyway, so I would just say some words. earthy, like, I don't know.
Oaky.
Has like a grassy, chocolatey undertone. I don't even know. I'm surprised that I got fired. I had no idea what I was saying. But anyway, I thought it was so gross, black coffee. But then all of a sudden, something switched and I just love it.
But you know, actually, that makes a sense because I've been having cold brew coffee, which I know that goes against what you would like. But I love cold brew coffee. It has more of a caramely flavor to it, and I can have it without milk. So I can see what
you're
saying.
That's how we brew our coffee. We're coffee snobs, as apparently are you.
Oh,
but then you can, you know, and it's so strong. It's the whatever consistency you want to pour it into your cup, right? And I like it really strong, and so I can make a really strong cup of coffee for myself. And hot, and my husband can have a weaker cold cup of coffee, and it's from the same carafe of cold brew coffee. So,
ooh,
it's also got like half the acid, so it's much better for you.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, and I'm from the Pacific Northwest here, and we're like all coffee people, and I didn't even know that. So, thank you for teaching me that.
You're so welcome.
I won't have to Google it.
I love cold brew coffee, and everyone who comes to my house is always like, "This coffee is so good. Where'd you get it?" And I say, I got it from Costco. That is not the part that's impressive. It's the cold brew of it.
It's how you do it. Yeah. See, well, you would really fit in here in Oregon. I really think you would do well.
Can I tell you, that is my wish, is that I somehow was from Oregon.
Oh, it's so great. Portland is so weird. I know that's like the obligatory thing to say, but it is, it is so great and odd and weird. And you would love it. It would be the best place for you to go visit.
Portlandia is like my favorite show ever.
Okay. And you know, it's so funny. Like we watch it and we go, oh my gosh, that is so spot on.
Is it?
People are just, oh, it is. Oh yes. Yeah. It's a little eerie that they have nailed Portland perfectly in that show.
I love the guy who's really angry riding around on a bike all the time.
Yes.
Love that guy.
There are people like, I mean, you'll be walking across the street and boy, if you have just passed that whole do not walk sign, you will get screamed at by those bikers. It is. That's why we live in Salem, because it's a little, we're about 40 minutes south of it. It's just a little too intense for us. So we'll go get our little city fix and then we'll come home. So
when enough people yell at you.
Yeah. Oh, we love it though. We'll go and just get our people watching fix and we just love it up there.
Oh my goodness. Well, if I ever can get over there, I'm coming to your house.
Oh, perfect. We'd love
that. Not to be weird. I will tell you I'm coming first.
Oh, but No. We have a great guest room and I will take you to all the cool coffee bars. You will love
it. I need
them.
To do that. Yes. That is so wonderful.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Becky, thank you so much for being willing to talk to me today.
Oh, I really enjoyed talking with you. And thank you so much for taking this opportunity with me. I really have enjoyed it.
You are welcome. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. I love so many parts of that conversation. When I talk to people whose kids are about to move out, it snaps into perspective for me that these wonderful and really intense and sometimes maddening days are numbered. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I started thinking about how I could struggle well through my least favorite part of the day, which is bedtime. Back several months ago when I talked to my friend Laura Williams, she brought up the importance of bedtime routines and how she uses them. And I've heard from several of you on this, so I know I'm not alone. I just want to be done at that time. I don't feel like any more togetherness. I don't feel like any more drama. I just feel like going to bed myself. But my girl and I have been sneaking off a little earlier than normal so that we can read a few chapters of a book together. We take turns choosing the book, though, because I can only handle so much Magic Treehouse. It's been much more enjoyable than I thought it would be, and we're really enjoying some good together time, so that's been a way that I've been struggling well lately. But you know, I would really love to hear from you guys. What type of guests do you want to hear from? Where are you finding some holes in your mothering knowledge? Like, where are you struggling? Because I would love to figure out how we can bring people on and talk about it. So go ahead and communicate with me through any social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Mom struggling well, and let me know, because I am doing this for y'all. I hope you love this interview and can figure out a way to incorporate some of Becky's wisdom into your daily life. I'd love to hear about that as well. Have a great week of struggling well.